There you go. Uh-huh. What's that? Yeah, it's okay. We're getting toward the end. Wow, bless the Lord. Everybody doing okay? It's going to be a great day. I'm kind of excited. There's a bunch of things that are going on right now that are kind of culminating, I guess would be the right word. But feeling pretty good. We're coming. We got just a couple more weeks of school left. It's going to happen. Okay. It's kind of neat just talking with different people about how the school has affected your, I'm going to say perspective, because I think that's probably the best word. And my heart, for those of you that know me pretty well, know I believe everything's about perspective. It's the way we see life. It's the way we do things. And when we see life from the right perspective, everything looks different. But oftentimes our perspective is skewed, is changed by surroundings, environment, what's going on around us, circumstances. And we allow things to kind of mess with that. And you know what it really does? It affects our attitude. Who's ever read Chuck Swindoll's little thing? It talks about attitude versus altitude. You know, your attitude determines your altitude. Your right attitude, you soar higher. Your bad attitude, you soar lower. You know, but there's a phrase in there that I've lived with for a long time, and I really love it. It says, life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And I think that's a very powerful statement. Life is 10% of what happens to me, 90% how I react to it. And that's what I believe. I honestly believe that's what the school's doing. I believe that's what some of the classes you've been having are doing, is changing the way I react to what happens to me. Because if I see it different, I'm going to respond different. I'll never respond to anything differently if I don't see it differently. So then I'll keep doing what I used to do, and how would anything ever change? Because there's an old phrase that says, if I always do what I always did, I'll always get what I always got. You know, if I don't do anything differently, I can't expect a different result. Everybody's right with that, right? So a lot of it's our attitude. A lot of it's our, I guess that's a pretty tough word, attitude. Because when we say attitude, a lot of times it has a negative connotation to it. But frankly, attitude can be great. Who do you know that has a great attitude? Like, there are some people that just have a good attitude about life. You know what I mean? And it's just pretty cool. There are some of us out there that have, they've always seen a glass half full. It's never half empty. It's always half full. You know, eternal optimists. I live in that arena. I'm an optimist. I tell people, you know, I've got rose-colored glasses, and if you break these, it's okay. I got 1,000 more pair in a closet. I'll put another pair on. I live there. That's real life for me. But there's a place where attitude, I just think attitude really makes the difference. And that's a place that we have to respond from, is maintaining the right attitude, seeing things from the right perspective. We've talked a lot in class about just maintaining a God's eye view. You know, seeing things from His perspective rather than through life. Let you think for just a minute of the greatest challenge in your life. What's been the greatest challenge in your life? You know, you can go back through your life and... And then I want to tell you something that's real important. The greatest challenge in your life doesn't define who you are. Do you understand that? Yeah, thank God. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't define who you are. Oftentimes we've tried to allow our identity to be based out of what we've been through. And your identity isn't about what you've been through. As a matter of fact, I got to tell you something. There's a phrase that burns in my heart that stayed with me for several years. It was from a little old lady in Florida that preached. Her name was Iverna Tompkins, but she said, "Go back and kiss the stones that bloodied your feet, because they made you who you are today." And I think that that's an incredibly powerful statement. Go back and kiss the stones that bloodied your feet. They made you who you are today. If it wasn't for some of those stones, where would we, you know, maybe we wouldn't be anywhere near where we are today. You know, you've got to determine what those stones are going to do to you. I grew up as a child, 10 years old. My dad ran off with his secretary. So my dad runs off with his secretary, and I listen to my mother cry herself to sleep. You could be the child that deals with abandonment issues and all the things, and sociologists would tell you it's the right thing, and you know you have a right to feel this way and everything. Or you can purpose in your heart. Watch this. I purposed in my heart from that when I got married, it was going to be till death do us part, because I was never going to put my kids through what I went through. Make sense? Oh, and how you look at it. Follow what I just said? So I just purposed in my heart, I'm married to Pastor Lori till death do us part. She messes up, I'll kill her. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. But till death do us part. No. And of course, that's not true. But there's a place where you purpose in your heart, you know, and you come through because the things that you went through have made you stronger. I went to New Life for Girls. Some of you are familiar with a ministry called New Life for Girls. And I've been preaching over there for quite a while. I do a lot of mentoring classes there with their staff now. But when I was doing chapel services with the girls, it was the very first time I went there. And I had no idea what it really looked like. And nobody told me there was a time limit. I didn't know there was a time limit. And oh my goodness, did we have church. Oh my. It was fun. They just cut me loose to preach. So I just preached like a wild man. But I can remember what I preached. And I preached a message. I called it Unlabeled. And it was talking about tearing off the labels that everybody else has tried to put on you. You know, because the world will label you. They want to label you. They want to define who you are, put labels on you. And most of them, if you're in a drug and alcohol recovery place, you've been labeled by society. You've been labeled by your family. You've been labeled by your friends. And you're wearing those labels. That's almost made your identity. So I remember, oh my gosh, we preached, had an amazing time. Some people got delivered from a whole bunch of stuff. We had a blast. But they were done at like 12:15 or something like that. I can't remember the time. Anyway, it was after 2:00. People were laying all over the church on the floor. God was just moving. It was so fun. And the dean comes to me. It wasn't Irene. It was another girl. And I didn't know her at the time. But anyway, she comes to me. She said, "Now, Pastor, we do have time limits." I said, "Nobody told me." Okay. Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I said, "You have to take it up with the Holy Ghost." Okay. But anyway, in the process of that, what I was trying to share was that we can't allow the stuff that we go through to define us or to label us or to have a voice in our head, right? And that's probably one of the greatest challenges, yeah, is keeping that voice out of our head. Because how many know there are other voices out there? Yeah. We're going to study some of that today. We're going to talk about John chapter 10. We're going to look at some things. But in the process of that, there's a lot of voices out there that are trying to vie for our attention. To use the word label us is probably the best way I can define that. But there's a lot of stuff out there that would try to mark you, right? As to this is who you are. And you have to purpose in your own heart that this voice is going to define you. Amen. And label who you are. And even though there's other things out there that might be chattering in my ear, I refuse to listen to that because this has the loudest voice. Y'all follow what I just said? There's something to that we've just got to embrace. And if I fail to embrace that, I will be challenged for my whole life. You have to purpose in your heart. What's the voice that's going to define you? What's the source? If I embrace this, can I say this? It'll show in my attitude. It will show in my attitude. And that has to, we talked a little bit about just a few minutes ago about your attitude determines your attitude. How high you go. What's your perspective? I get amazed by this, and this is just a small thing, but watch this. And I don't, to say it the right way, if I stand here and we can share, I see you a certain way. But if I go up, there's four steps. You can't believe the different perspective I have from here. Do you understand what I do? Everything looks so different from right here. It's only a few feet. But everything from here takes on such a different perspective than it does from right here. It's almost like it messes with my head. That's that amazing to me. But that's one of the things that comes to mind over and over, is that I believe God's calling us to a higher place to have a different perspective. God's bringing us to a higher place to have a different perspective. If I was to ask you, because we've been in here about 10, maybe 10 and a half weeks, I guess this is probably the middle of the 11th week if we're doing 13 weeks, so I think there's two more weeks left. So if I was to ask you, has your perspective really changed over the last 10 weeks? I would think for most of you it's a resounding absolutely. You know, it would be it has to change. You know what I mean? Can I, from a pastor's heart, really talk to you and tell you this? This is the greatest cry I have in my heart, is that 6 months from now, that's still the answer. That we don't watch this, because we can go through a summer's intensive course, you know what I mean? 13 weeks of just really intense teaching, training, pouring in. But 6 months from now, will we have reverted back to where we were? Because we saw that as normal, and what you're catching now is, come on, it's outside the box. It's what, you know what I mean? You've got a purpose in your own heart. I'm going to hold on to this thing. I'm not going to allow life to go back. I hope you're all catching what I'm saying, because that's so important. Whether it's people that's on the internet, because how many know, even the stuff that... Do you realize the challenge of people who are working every day? I know you guys, immense challenge to be able to come and be here and sit in the class for 13 weeks. And you've changed schedules and life and everything. Miles of driving, all kind of different things to be here. A whole summer. You know what I mean? And I so admire what you've done. That just speaks volumes to my heart. But even the people that are watching on the internet, you realize they're going to work in the morning. They got life. They got kids. They got soccer. They got all the stuff going on. Yet they're trying to get home and get a couple hours in on I admire what they're doing. I think that's amazing as well. You know what I mean? And can I say this for you guys? Just, I got a phone call yesterday in the office. I was the last one out, so the phone was ringing. I picked it up. It was from an outside area code. And it was a guy wanting to know, could we do the video school still? Is it too late to sign up? And I said, well, we're going to do another one in the fall, but if you wanted the summer one, it'll be on video on demand. It'll be until January 1st, and you could do that. He's like, oh, man, how do I sign up? I'm thinking, wow, that's intense, because here we are at the very end, and people are still signing up. And I'm like, I'll take your money. No, never mind. Okay. but it's somebody who wants, can I say this? There's such a hunger out there for truth. It has nothing to do with money, and I hope you guys know that. But it's because if it was money, you wouldn't have got in for your price. But okay, but because that's where my heart's at. It's just about sharing truth. But here's the deal: there's a hunger out there, and people are desiring. The thing is that when we get it, we have to purpose. What are we going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Can you imagine buying, I don't know, $125,000 Jaguar to just sit in the driveway? Because to me, I think that's crazy. There's people that do that. I just put them in a list called crazy. Okay, you know what I mean? But because if you have it, you're going to want to drive it. You're going to want to do something with it. It's the same thing. Everything that's been poured into you, do something with it. You've got a purpose in your heart. How's this going to change? Watch this. How's this going to change my February next year? Do you understand that? Everything that I look at, I ought to be seeing now through a different perspective. Most of you that have been around with me know I talk this all the time. I've got to see life through a different lens. Because if I don't see it through a different lens, nothing's going to change for me. So it can't be a temporary lens. It can't just be that, boy, we had a great summer. It has to change the way I'm going to do life. You okay with that? That's really, really huge. So there's a lot of voices out there that are vying for your attention. There's a lot of things out there that are going to be pulling on your heart. And you have to ask yourself the question is, how am I going to respond to that? How will I know the voice of God? Go ahead, Sharon. Hang on just a second. Good.
I wanted to catch you before you moved on, because several times you have mentioned a mentoring class.
Right.
Who's that available to?
Well, it's for leadership in the local church here. I do two classes here and then one over at New Life for Girls.
Okay. Just wondered if there was something that we could take advantage of to keep us moving along.
Okay. Let's see where we get with that. That might be a possibility. It is something that I've been dealing with, and we have extended some. If there's an interest, I would be glad to sit and talk with people. Okay. All right. In the process, let me take you to a couple steps further. That what I'm dealing with and what's where my heart's at in that is, there are some things that I have found myself as in pastoring for quite a few years and been in ministry a little longer than pastoring, but probably the best way to say that is you're praying over something. And watch this, when we're emotionally attached to what we're praying to. Y'all follow what I'm saying? You're praying about something that's dealing with some stuff. God, I just need to hear your voice. And then you feel like you're getting direction. Who's done it? God, is that you? Is that you? You know, God, is that you? And then we do this, oh, is that you, me, or the devil? You know, and we get into all those conversations with our own head. You know what I mean? Come on, you've been there. You know what I mean? But the truth of the matter is, it's discerning that. I subscribe to an email thing. It's called the Elijah List. There's some good stuff on there. I will tell you, please hear this the right way. I live in a world of eat the chicken, throw away the bones. Okay? And if you can't discern between chicken and bones, be careful what you subscribe to. I'm just going to say that and leave it alone. Y'all right with that? Okay? But in the process of that, what I tell you, the guy that runs it, his name is Steve Schultz, and he wrote a book called Can't You Talk Louder, God? And I thought that was an amazing title. Okay? Can't You Talk Louder, God? You know what I mean? Because there's times when I so want to hear and discern God's voice, especially if you're dealing with, I'm going to say volatile situations, things that could explode if you move in the wrong direction. And can I give you what I feel is a great piece of pastoral advice? When you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Until you know what to do. I have watched people impulsively do things, and it's been explosive in a mess. You know what I mean? And maybe if they'd have just waited one more day, they'd have been able to discern. And sometimes I've been those people. You know what I mean? So in the mentoring classes here, I mentioned mentoring class, I tell them all the time, I've learned a lot more from the things I've done wrong than I have from the things I've done right. That's why I'm so smart. I've made tons of mistakes. Okay, but there's a place where you know what? And it's true. It is true. If you mess up, you should learn from what you messed up. You know what I mean? Go back and fix it. But don't lay there and die. Don't just give up. Oh, I can't do this anymore. I can't tell you how many times I quit pastoring. Mostly on Mondays. A lot of Mondays were, that's it, I'm done. Okay, yeah. But in the process of that, and there's a truth to these things, it's that we learn from, okay? We learn from what we do right, we learn from what we do wrong. We learn from what other people do right and what other people do wrong. I want to empower you with a good word. Let me tell you something. From a pastor's perspective, you can't believe how many people would come along to tell you how to pastor your church.
Oh, yeah.
Most of them with no pastoral experience at all.
Yeah.
You understand what I just said? But glad to share. Here's an empowering word. Not everybody has the right to speak into your life. Do you understand what I just said? Because everybody will want to. I want you to know God is not the only one with a plan for your life. Do you understand what I just said? God's not the only one with a plan for your life. Everybody's got a plan for your life. If you give them an opportunity to speak into your life, they'll probably take it. You have to purpose who you're going to let speak into your life. Who knows the scripture in Proverbs? In the multitude of counselors there's safety. But you need to understand something. The inference there is that it's counselors that are hearing God. Okay? Because there's a lot of counselors out there that don't have anything to do with hearing God. And I got to say this. Not everybody that comes along with a word from God heard God. Do you understand what I just said? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they come along, yay, yay, thus saith God. You might be getting another yay, yay from a yo-yo. And you don't have to accept that. This is real important that you catch this. If somebody comes along with a word from God for you, it ought to just confirm what you as God's child have already heard.
Amen.
If it doesn't confirm with what you're hearing from God, put it on a shelf until you hear from God. You're His sons. You're His daughters. You're His children. You have a right to hear from Him just like everybody else. I thank God for the people that love you enough. They're praying for you and wanting to hear from God for me. But I got to tell you something. Oh, don't hear this the wrong way. Hear this the right way, please. They don't need to hear from God for you. You need to hear from God for you. Do you understand what I just said? You need to hear from God for you. Now, who's ever been in an emotional situation you're trying to hear from God and you're so caught up in it that sometimes it makes everything fuzzy? Right? Thank God for the people that come alongside, but they're going to come alongside of you. They're going to be praying for you. But I'm still telling you, there's a place where you get so settled in your heart. Now you're praying, you're hearing, and it's confirming what they heard. Right? Sometimes you hear, but you're not certain. They come along and confirm what you heard. Sometimes you didn't hear, they heard. Now you pray, but you get the confirmation from heaven. Yeah, that is you, God. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a place where you know you're hearing from God because there's a peace that settles in that. There's a peace that settles that. I'll get you in just a second, Cal. It's real important that you hear this. This is very, very important that we hear this. I think it's Colossians 3. This is just really, really raising up in my heart. It's Colossians 3. There's another place in Ephesians, but I think the one I want right now is Colossians. I lost my good Bible. Who has? Do you have a favorite Bible? Like the Bible that I preach out of and teach out of all the time. I've got 17 Bibles. Like I counted them. But I have a Thompson chain. It's a black one. And you know what's really cool about that is that I've been studying out of the same edition. I've got several copies of it, but it's the same edition. So you know, when you're looking at Colossians 3:16, it's in the third column, one third of the way down right here. It's Colossians 3:16. You know what I mean? Y'all follow where I'm at? Yeah. And when you're in a strange Bible, everything looks different. And I got the other one all marked up. Okay? Yeah. What's that? Yeah, I did. Yeah. The idea is this. It wasn't Colossians 3. I'm gonna tell you, there's a place. I want to quote it right now. I'm drawing a blank right now, Donna, and I know what I'm looking for. Yeah. Let me give it to you this way. Find this, the peace of God that passes understanding. Okay? Because that would be the second place I would have went to. Let me do this. That's Philippians 4. Yeah, because it comes out of 6, and that was the second place I wanted to go. Let's go there then. Let's just run to Philippians because that works. Philippians 4, and we're going to start about verse 6. Okay? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But in Colossians, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It was Colossians 3. I was so close. Okay. I did say 16, and I went to 16 and kept going down, and it wasn't there. I should have went up. Yeah, there it is. Colossians 3:15 kind of follows along the same idea. Watch this. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Okay? To the which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Everybody see that? When he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, if you talked about this at all, that Paul was a very strong sports enthusiast. If you study the Apostle Paul, and from what we can understand through Josephus and different ones, Paul was a strong sports enthusiast, which I think is kind of cool. Okay, but in that he makes a lot of allusions to sports activities. He was a strong proponent. He was very in favor of a lot of the Olympic Games, and we could get into some of that just to study his history. If you've ever studied out Saul of Tarsus and who he was, but in the process of all that, even as he says this here. When he says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, what he's saying there is actually, if I was to, if Philip's literal translation kind of draws a lot of this out. But what he's saying is, let the peace of God make the ruling decision or be the umpire. The word is an allusion to an Olympic umpire. And that's what the word actually comes from in the Greek. It's be the umpire every time you have to make a decision. What's he saying? He's saying there's a place where you follow your peace. Y'all understand when I say that? You follow your peace. Like you're praying about something. God, is this what you really want me to do? And you've got this peace that comes over you. Follow your peace. There's a place where you just follow your peace. There's a place. Watch this. God, is this what you want me to do? And all of a sudden your peace is totally disrupted. Right? It's, can I use the phrase, you got a red flag? Who knows what I'm talking about? You got a red flag? You got this red flag. I can't do that. Why? Because I don't know, but my peace is totally disrupted. You know, sometimes Lori and I will be talking about something and praying about something. She'll say, I don't know, man. I just don't have a good feeling about it. What she's telling me is, my peace is disrupted. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Do you get it? It's got to be to make the ruling decision, be the ruling umpire. Let peace be the umpire in every decision that you make. When I'm praying about something, it's simple things. It doesn't matter. I just bought a truck last week, and I love this new truck, right? But we went to it. I went and looked at it. Drove two different trucks, one small truck, one bigger truck, right? Gas prices, all the different things. You think about all that, you know, kind of measuring one versus the other, ride versus, you know, comfort and all the things, hauling ability. And just all of a sudden, put them side by side and prayed over them. Bought the white one because it's righteous white. Okay. In that process, and watch this. Lori and I prayed. God, what would you have us to do? I knew what I felt was this one. I looked at her and said, what do you feel? She said, I'm feeling that one. I said, cool. I said, why do you feel that way? She said, just got a peace about buying that one. That's the one we should buy. I said, it's the same way I feel. Isn't that cool that you can do that?
Yeah.
Come on. And it's not, can I say this? It's not a big deal whether you drive a bigger white truck or a smaller silver truck, right? You follow what I'm saying? Other than we're just going to ask God involved. Because every decision you make, I think you ought to involve God in it. We're setting up for the next school, right? And got some different people that have kind of offered to be a part of that as far as teaching different things. You know what I mean? Talking with different leaders in the body of Christ. And some folks have said to me, well, you know, if you need me to come, I'd be glad to come. But you know what? I don't want to say it the wrong way. Please hear it the right way. Great men, great women, whatever. But there were certain ones I just knew this was God's plan. I think it's going to be totally cool. So I'm very excited about it. I have a guy that I kind of thought maybe he might do a couple of days of class, and my peace was disrupted. So you know what? He won't be doing a couple of days of the class. You understand where I'm at? It's nobody that you really know. But here's where we're at. In the process of all that, I just feel like God's moving. There's a place where you're hearing God, discerning His voice, understanding His heart, right? And there's a peace. You get Colossians 3. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? Colossians 3:15, what I'm saying there? There's a place where you get a peace or a red flag. You just know what to do. We're going to go over here, buddy. Okay. In the process of that, as we study this and we look at this, we're going to talk about discerning God's voice today. And there's a place where we want to know, God, I want to hear you. I want to hear your voice. We'll talk about it. Go ahead, hon. It's on. Nope.
Okay, what about walking through your fears?
Okay.
Overcoming fears. Because I may be anxious about something and I need to deal with that and overcome that fear because it may be a false perception or something. So I've kind of been pondering that lately because I am walking through. So getting rid of old fears and pressing on to the new. You know, we're more than conquerors in Christ.
Okay. You understand what she's saying? Is that sometimes even trying to discern the voice of God have my fears set up a roadblock, you know what I mean, so to speak. And now am I responding to some old mindsets or am I responding to the voice of God? Who knows? Can I say this? All right, I'm going to talk to you real plain. And fears kind of comes along this. I'll kind of broaden the whole perspective, if that's okay. But because it fits into a broad perspective. Some of you know a couple months ago, we buried Pastor Lori's mom. But Pastor Lori's mom, huge, huge footprint in my life. You understand when I say that? Like her life really helped so much define my life. So very, very endeared, very close. I couldn't even tell mother-in-law jokes. I just liked her too much. You know what I mean? But in the process of all that, Mom lived in a... She got saved back... You know, Mom was 88 years old. She got saved when she was like 18 or something, 20. So she got saved way back. You know what I mean? And she came up in the old Pentecostal holiness. And hear that right? Incredible salvation, incredible baptism of the Holy Spirit. They would see God move in amazing ways. But a lot of legalism with some of that. You okay when I say that? I'm not being critical or hard. But, you know, when Mom got her hair cut because she was having migraine headaches, that was very taboo in the old Pentecostal holiness church. A woman never got her hair cut. They rolled it up and wore it on top of their head. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say that? Yeah, so she got her hair cut. That was taboo. You know, there was no jewelry. There was no television. There was no nothing. You know what I mean? And of course, Mom came along in some of that. But one of the things that Mom held on to over all the years, Mom would never, ever wear a pair of pants. She would just wear a dress. Because under the old school Pentecostal holiness, women never wore pants. You never wore shorts. And women just wore dresses. That's all Mom ever wore. Mom had a stroke. Right? When you have a stroke, your circulatory system kind of shuts down somewhat, and she's now freezing cold all the time. It's winter. She's cold all the time. And I'm telling her, Mom, you know, you can wear pants. It's really not going to grieve the Holy Spirit. But how many know Mom couldn't wear pants? She's now freezing cold. I got to the place where Lori's got two older sisters that are 20 years older than her. And Joanne and Arlene came to me, and they said, Dawn, you got a lot of influence with Mom. You got to talk to Mom. She's freezing all the time. Let's buy her a sweatsuit. I said, well, you can buy her a sweatsuit if you want. She said, well, we did, but we want you to give it to her. Because she won't wear it if we give it to her. But if you give it to her and you tell her God said it's okay, she might just listen, right? Because I have pretty good influence with my mother-in-law, right? So here's the deal. I sit down with Mom and I talk to her. I said, Mom, it's okay. You can wear it. Even if you want to put a dress over top, wear the pants, put a dress over top, right? I've seen a lot of people do that. So I said, you can do that. You know what I mean? She said, okay. If you think it's okay, Dawn, I'm going to. She had it on about 4 minutes. And she came out and we were all applauding and kind of cheering her on or whatever. And it was kind of a big family moment. Mom finally wore pants. You know what I mean? Had them on about 4 minutes. And she said, Dawn, I got to take these off. I can't do this. I can't wear it. And I said, Mom, if it so violates your heart, don't violate your own Christian conviction. You don't have the right to put your conviction on everybody else. But if that's your conviction, you've got to live by your conviction. Y'all follow what I said? How many know she believed in her heart the Holy Spirit was convicting her? I believe in my heart her traditions were convicting her. Do you understand what I just said? I don't think it had anything to do with God. I don't think it had anything to do with the Holy Spirit. I think it had everything to do with her tradition. But her tradition was so ingrained in her mind that she couldn't get past that roadblock. Y'all follow what I just said? I think that sometimes our fears that are so inbred in our minds sometimes begin to guide and direct us, and we have to overcome that. Traditions. Can I say this? It's a tough thing to break through some old traditions. Oh, some of the old traditions created a mindset in our lives that we had trouble breaking through. In that, some of you know the story, but you know, Pastor Lori and I got saved. Lori grew up in that, right? Lori grew up in the idea that she could watch some TV. If you're from my generation, who remembers Charlie's Angels? Everybody in my generation watched Charlie's Angels, you know. That was the old ones with Farrah Fawcett and Jacqueline Smith. Yeah, there you go, Jackie Smith and some of those ones. In the process of that, that was the big thing in the 70s when we were in high school, right? But in the process, my wife wasn't allowed to watch that because that was the show that had guns and she couldn't watch a show that had guns. That was the mindset of the family. You follow what I'm saying? So she grows up in that. No jewelry. When we got married, we didn't exchange rings. We exchanged Bibles. You know what I mean? Because we didn't wear jewelry. And that was wrong. You know, that was considered from 2 Peter chapter 3. Let it not be the outward adorning or the plaiting of the hair or the putting on of apparel. The outward adorning of gold. The plaiting of hair or the putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of a meek and gentle spirit. And that wasn't given in an absolute negative. But we took it as an absolute negative. It was actually saying, don't put your emphasis on the outside, put your emphasis on the inside. Who knows? That's the scripture, right? But when it said, don't let it not be. So we said, let it not be. And we preached, let it not be. Hallelujah. And you could stomp. And then that made it God, you know. So there was a place for that. Understand, to break through that, because I can remember when Pastor Lori and I left from the organization and she put her first ring on. It was a real challenge to her. She's doing incredibly well with it now. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that bling. Okay. but in that, and you got to catch this, okay? Because in the process, sometimes we got to come through some of those old mindsets. It's a paradigm shift. It's the changing the way you think. It's seeing from a different perspective. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to broaden that stuff in our life. But watch this. You got to be careful that we don't ever enter into an anything goes mentality. Or you can get really messed up. Because I've seen it shift the wrong way. Holy Spirit has to be involved in every decision that you're making. And you've got to allow that to be a part of the fabric of your life and who you are. And that's one of the big keys. Go ahead, bring it to Vicki. And what we're seeing is, and I think it's a major thing, but there's a place where we're allowing God to have a voice that overrides every other voice. We're going to talk about that. Go ahead.
Well, I struggle with former leadership that I was under, and I am invited quite often to sing. Like, I used to do the Support the Troops rallies, and I always, you know, would impart God in everything I did outside of the church.
Right.
And at memorial services and such. And I, when you say red flag, it triggers this awful, icky thing in the pit of my stomach, because I was told by leadership that I sat under that, you know, if you want to do something outside of the church, you have to come to me. And I'll tell you if I get a red flag or not. And I struggle with this because, you know, the same Holy Spirit I used to argue, the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of you lives inside of me. And I think I will know whether or not I get a red flag or a green flag. So it's just hard when you've been told, you know, that your gift is consecrated for the use of the house only. That was such a four walls mentality that I struggle with that. When I hear red flag and stuff, and I don't know if that's a fear that, oh, what if I don't hear God now because of being told that for so many years?
Okay. I hear you. I want to be careful how I comment to that, because watch this. This is very, very important that we hear this. There's a place where we love and honor and respect, so I never want to take away from that. But I'm going to come back to you over and over and over and over, and please hear my heart in this. When it comes down to it and you stand before the Lord, you will not be able to point your finger at Pastor Dan, at myself, or any other leader. You are accountable for your life. So you better learn to hear God for yourself. There comes a place where if you're relying on everybody else to hear God for you, why would you ever need to hear God? Do you understand what I just said? Please don't rely. I don't want the responsibility of hearing God for you. I would run from that responsibility. I don't want you to come and tell. I get people, and I do this a lot. I get people to come to me about because they want to make financial decisions. You pray and tell me what you're hearing. Right? I get people, even marriage and different things. I got a girl yesterday, talked to a girl very close to. She's thinking about getting married to this guy, and she wants to know, what are you hearing when you pray about this? I'm like, honey, I am not answering that question. Why? Because if I say, oh yeah, I think it's a good thing, go marry him, then it blows up. It's my fault. If I tell her, honey, I just don't hear God in that at all, and she decides not to marry him, and she dies a lonely old widow, it's my fault. I'm not bearing that responsibility. You hear God. What do you hear? And I bring that back to people constantly. What are you hearing from God? There's a place where you have the right, the privilege. You're His child. Why wouldn't He talk to you? I can't imagine not talking to my kids. And I'm not near as good a father as He is. He wants to talk to you. We're going to talk about all the different ways God wants to talk to you, because I think you need to see that. I think you need to hear that. I think that's a place where we've got to get a hold of that. But I don't think, watch this. Thank God there's a place where, and I would say this because at this point, some of you might even know, but Vicki's our receptionist at the desk. So when we're pretty tight and close. And if she comes to me and says, Pastor, I'm praying about this. This is what I'm hearing. What are you hearing? You know what I mean? I might pray and we're going to share. I'll say, well, you know, that sounds pretty good to me. It feels good to my heart. I got a peace for that. Or you know what? I might even say, well, Vic, you know what? I'm not real clear on that right now. There's a couple of concerns I have, and I may even issue my concerns. But then I would release her with this in mind. You pray about it and see what you're hearing. Because there's a place where I would much rather train you to hear God than you all have to come and ask me that question. Does that make sense? I don't want that responsibility. I got way too much other things going on. So it seems to me that it's a whole lot easier if we just heard God for ourselves. Yeah, and nothing wrong with having some people that are close to you. Watch this. I believe in having some people close to you. We're going to bounce things off of each other. I do it all the time. Pastor Rick, Pastor Dave, Pastor Dan, Todd, different ones. We'll talk back and forth all the time. Hey, man, I'm praying about this or I'm praying about that. You know, tell me, you know, and we share back and forth. I think it's a great thing. Thank God for the people that are around you that hear God. Isn't it great to know there's some people around you that actually hear God?
Yes.
Yay. Isn't it greater when you hear God for yourself? Here's the challenge. What if you're hearing God say yes and three people come to you and said they heard God say no? What do you do then? Mm-hmm. Okay. Because you believe in your heart, you heard a yes. And if you believe in your heart that you heard a yes, let me give you a good word, good pastoral word. Don't ever let anyone talk you out of what God's talking you into. Do you understand what I just said? Don't ever let anyone talk you out of what God's talking you into. That's really strong in my heart because I hear that a lot. Somebody takes a stand for something that they really, really believe in and they believe is God. And in the midst of that challenge, there's seven people trying to tell them, I don't think that's God. If you believe it's God, you stand. If it's not Him, He'll tell you. Ugh. We haven't even got to a scripture yet. I am getting Dan's anointing. Yeah, Jeanette. Oh, feel that. I feel this really strong.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead.
This goes with what in line to what she was saying. I'm sure a lot of us were brought up this way in different churches, but the pastor or the leaders take such a role in being your covering, and it's like.
Go ahead.
I don't mean any disrespect by this at all, because there was a point at one time where I found that comforting.
Okay.
Because I've, you know, just being brought up in such a dysfunctional world. But then it's like what she's saying. You feel like God is saying to you, you need to do this or go here or say this. And you're getting blessed because you're spending time with the Lord and you are hearing. And then those men of God just come and... That's where my confusion is, that
okay.
They, with this covering.
I'll come back and reaffirm what I just said. And thank God, please, because I appreciate your comment as saying there's no disrespect, man.
No.
You know, I understand what you're saying. It's not a place of disrespect or dishonor. There's a place where sometimes, and I guess it's probably true, and it's hard for me to even imagine, but I've heard so many different stories this way, that sometimes... There can be almost a place where your position creates a power that can almost corrupt. You know what I mean? And it might even be more from a safeguard. I've got to protect. You know, they feel there's a need for protection and everything. I would much rather mature you and let you fly than worry about protecting you the rest of your life. Y'all follow what I'm saying? And there's a place where you've got to walk out your walk. Because I tell you over and over, at the end of the way, when you stand before the Lord, it's you and Him. It's you and Him. It's not you and Him and a group of people and all the other things. It's you and Him. You know, I'll say this, and this is a place just from a shepherd's heart, pastor's heart. What I can tell you is, if there's a place where I can see you're walking into danger, you know what I mean? Or you're getting kind of out, can I say out in left field? Are you all okay with what I'm saying? You know, there's a place then where I've got to kind of rope you back in. So wait a minute, hold on a minute. Let me talk to you about something. And for the people in my mentoring classes, one of the things that they know, if I bring you to the office and I start the conversation with, you know I love you, right? Okay. Okay. If I start with, you know I love you, right? That's going to be some correction that's coming behind that. But that's because out of a place of love and concern, there's a protecting that has to take place. And we understand that there is a responsibility for pastors. Can I say this? To whom much is given, what? Much is required. So there's a responsibility that comes with that, and we want to guard that and take that well. But man, I think the responsibility... Can I... Can I take you somewhere? I got to now. It's just so in my heart. Go to Ephesians 4. Okay? Because this is what I believe, and I want to say this really, really strong. God spoke to my heart maybe about 2 years ago, and this was the phrase that God burned in my spirit. The church is moving from a place of gathering to a place of empowering. Do you understand what I just said? We're going from a place of gathering to a place of empowering. So what I believe is, as a pastor, there's a place where my job is about empowering. Let me take you to Ephesians 4. Let me show you a couple verses. It's really, really strong. Okay? In Ephesians 4, all right, we're going to start with, let's go to about verse 8. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Okay? Now, verses 9 and 10 is just in parentheses. It's a continuation of the thought, but to pick it back up, we've got to go to verse 11. What did he give? He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Why? In the King James, it says, for the perfecting of the saints. Every other version there would say equipping. Yep. Everybody okay with that? You all know that, right? Yep. Every other version says equipping. The Greek word there is actually equipping. It's to equip the saints, what? To go out and do the work of the ministry. Why? So that the body of Christ would be edified. For the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of faith. You got it? So watch this, because it gets even stronger in the wording. But I want you to see this. There's a place where I feel as a pastor, my job is to equip saints to go out and do the work of the ministry. Why? Because it's not the pastor's job to go do the work of the ministry. It's the pastor's job to equip the saints to go out and do the work of the ministry. Did y'all get that? It's the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers ought to be equipping saints to go out and do the work of the ministry. Why? Because it's an as-you-go ministry. Yeah, that's it. It is. Yeah. I believe that church, as we know it, 10 years from now is going to look a whole lot different than it does today. God spoke to my heart about this a little while ago. It's about a year ago, so maybe it's 9 years from now. But the Lord spoke to my heart a little while ago, and He said, 10 years from now, church is going to look so different than it does now. I believe that we'll come in on a Sunday morning, and Sunday morning will just be a celebration of what God did from Monday to Saturday. Amen. We'll just celebrate it and quit the saints and go back out and do it again. Right now, even in the house here, we're starting out with a bunch of different testimonies. I have Pastor Rick kind of getting testimonies together because I just want to start celebrating what God's been doing all week long. I think there's a place where we learn to celebrate the victories of the week, come back in, get empowered to go back out and do it again. Because it ought to be the equipping of the saints to go out and do the work of the ministry. Does that fit for you scripturally? One of the things we have to ask ourselves is, has the culture that we've been raised in, as far as what we call church, been a time of exchanging information or empowering? Do you understand what I just said? It can't just be another history lesson. We've got to have an empowering of the people of God to go out and do the work of the ministry. That's what He's calling us to. Okay, Shane. So there's some thoughts here, and I wanted to share this with you, but keep that in mind. Go ahead, man.
Just to bring some scripture to everything that you're saying, my heart is just completely jumping for, because it's been ringing true, and the Lord's been teaching me this. But 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 1, he just says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort. I am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory which will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, by willingly, not by dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor by being lords over those entrusted to you, but by being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." Now, who's the chief shepherd here? The chief shepherd here is Christ, when Christ comes back.
Sure.
And this is really, when I read this, this really put a lot of perspective of what exactly is an elder, because an elder is supposed to be the closest thing that we see to Jesus before He comes. He's supposed to be an example. Mm-hmm. So elders are elders, teachers, those that are serving as in those offices are supposed to be the closest thing we see to Jesus before He comes. And the interesting thing is, what was Jesus doing? He was always empowering You know, he was always telling his disciples to go more, go beyond. He was always telling his disciples how to do on their own. He wasn't saying, come to me when you need something, come to me and I'll do this, and da-da-da-da-da, you know, and, you know, before you go out, you know, be sure and check, make sure that this is, you know, what the Lord wants, you know, and all this stuff. He was always constantly telling them, go, 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 go.
Right.
And so that's exactly what the elders are supposed to do. And I actually went up to Pastor Don a few weeks ago, and I said, you know, that the Lord has actually confirmed that Pastor Don is an elder in my life. And the reason that, because hearing his teaching, because I've been very cautious, because my elders at my church were telling me not to come up here. So they were, so, you know, it's like, oh, well, the elders were telling me. And so it's kind of like God is like, okay, you need some new elders. And so, so I came up here. I came up here and right off the get-go, God was kind of like, Dan's one of your elders. I was like, okay, cool, you know, because he's someone that I see empowering. He's someone that I could say is an example for me of what I want to be and how I want to empower others. And then it was cool because, yeah, Pastor Don, then later, the Lord was like, he's another one of your elders. So I was like, cool. So I'm, you know, getting my elders. And it's pretty cool. But again, a lot of what everything Pastor Don is saying is so true, and especially in the area of we're going to be seeing change and what elders have been taking on. If it's not being an example of what Christ did, those are responsibilities that aren't supposed to be necessarily taken on. You know, and now culture's different and things like that, so you have to understand that it's, you know, there are going to be variations, but the heart of Jesus, which is the empowerment, which is the pushing out, the preparing of the flock, the overseeing, but not lording over. I love how it says that, because
right.
It's not a lording over. So everything, yeah, is rock on. I really appreciate this.
Okay, cool. Something to really consider, even as Shane brings it out, and one of the thoughts is that if you study the life of Christ, that's what you're going to find, is that over and over. When he feeds the 5,000, we talk about Jesus feeds the 5,000, right? He didn't. Matter of fact, when he said, he said, you feed them. You feed them. And they said, all we have here is a little bread and some fish, right? Had a little fish dinner. Two-piece fish dinner, that's what it was. And in the process, he said, oh, give it to me. Let me bless it. Okay, go feed them. You feed them. He prays for it, but the multiplication actually comes at the disciples' hands. You need to understand that. He was empowering them to go do it. Right? He's on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. What happens? The man shows up with a demoniac son, right? But they don't cast out that devil. So when Jesus comes down with Peter, James, and John, and they come there, and the man comes and says, well, I brought them to your disciples, but they couldn't do anything with them. Do you remember what happens? He rebukes them. What's wrong with you guys? Why? I've empowered you to do this. Why do I have to do it when I've empowered you to do it? That's really what he just said there. Y'all get that, right? There's a place where it's an empowerment of the body. That's what the Lord spoke to my heart about a year ago. We're going from a place of gathering to a place of empowering. We have to get that. That becomes really, really imperative that we begin to understand that. And the only way we're going to walk in that kind of power, the only way we're going to walk in this kind of grace, is we've got to be, can I say this? If I'm a soldier and I'm showing up for duty, I just want to hear from my commanding officer. How many know? This isn't your commanding officer, that is. Did y'all get that, right? Right? So if I'm showing up for duty, I just want to hear I'm showing up for my marching orders. Give me my marching orders. I want to be able to hear God. I want to be able to hear Him clearly. And sometimes, and again, Don even brings it out earlier, some of the static on the line can be challenging because it's our emotions and some of the different fears and some of the old mindsets and breaking through. So there's a paradigm shift that has to take place right here. I've got to see things differently. I've got to think differently. You know, some of us grew up all kind of messed up. But the fact of the matter is that now we're getting that all together. It's coming in line. What do I got to do? I guess I should have my mind renewed. Anybody ever read Romans 12? Come on, because we're getting our mind renewed. I've got to think differently so I can see differently. Go to John chapter 10, man. I'm going to get there. John chapter 10 is where I wanted to start. And I'm enjoying this immensely. I want you to see this. There's some things here that I think are real strong. Have you been in John 10 with Pastor Dan at all? Been everywhere else. Okay. Okay. Let's go to John chapter 10. Okay. I love this. If you've been around me for a while, you know this is one of my favorite phrases. But do you see the first two words? He starts out with verily, verily. You have to understand that anytime Jesus says verily, verily, he's saying this is extremely important. Okay? This is extremely important. When he says verily, verily, every time that I read this, there were several years ago, this kind of clicked in my head this way. As a child, I grew up with a favorite cartoon character, and his name was Foghorn Leghorn. I love Foghorn Leghorn, right? And if you've been around long and you understand who Foghorn Leghorn is, every time I read Verily, Verily, I see Foghorn Leghorn looking at that little chicken going, I say, look here, boy. I say, boy, look here, boy. I'm talking to you, boy. That's what I get when I hear Jesus saying, Verily, Verily. It's the whole Foghorn Leghorn scenario. I say, boy, look here, boy. I'm talking to you, son. Okay. It means this is important. Verily, verily, I say unto you, okay? Look here, boy, I'm telling you something, okay? He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, watch what he's saying. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but they'll flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. That's probably five incredibly important verses right there. It tells us a lot about God. It tells us a lot about the heart of Christ. And we need to know this. I want to say something that's really, really, really important. The best way for you to follow God is to know the heart of God. If you really want to discern His voice, know His heart. Can I talk to you about something that's true, very true scenario? One of the guys that was on the board of the church here for a while, he's still a big part of the body here, but he's not on the board because of traveling obligations and some different things. But incredible man with an amazing heart. His sister was coming, and she was coming with her husband. They were coming for a while, and then they didn't show up for a few weeks, and I asked him, I said, hey, man, I said, I haven't seen your sister in a couple weeks. Is she doing okay? He said, yeah, I noticed she wasn't here. Let me call her. He said, I'll call her. I said, okay, if she needs anything, let me know. You know, I just want to know what's, you know, make sure she's okay. And so he called her. And he called me back the next day, and he asked, he said, did my sister call you yesterday? I said, no. He said, she's gonna. I'll make sure of it. I said, why? What's going on? And he said, well, he said, and here's what happened. And I thought it was a pretty neat thing. She told him something that she heard that I had said from somebody else. Follow what I just said? Someone told her that I said this about one of her children. Okay? Now, the guy, right, who's my friend and was a board member at the time, said, looked at his sister. He said, how long have you been coming to Harvest Chapel? She said, about 7-8 months. And she said, he said, then you kind of know the heart of the pastor. Do you honestly believe that he would have ever said that? And she said, well, it sure seems out of character. It actually shocked me that he said that. He said, why don't you go to him and find out what he really said? He said, because I can tell you, I've been with him for a few years. I know his heart as well as anybody. And I can tell you there's no way he said that, because I know his heart. Do you understand that whole phrase? Please hear that. She called me. She said, Pastor Don, I got to ask you a question. We got talking, and I actually started to laugh. I said, honey, let me tell you what was said. And this is how it got twisted. You follow that whole scenario? The reason the man never moved is because he knew those words wouldn't have came out of my mouth, because he knows where my heart's at. Follow what I just said. In the same essence, when you're listening to hear the voice of the Lord, one of the most important things is that you understand the heart of the Father. Because if you understand the heart of God, then hearing the voice of God becomes easier to determine what's the voice of God versus what's the voice of a stranger. Because God's voice will always match His heart. That's good. God's voice will always match his heart. Why? Because he's the one that said so. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So out of the abundance of the heart, God's mouth speaks. Do you get it? Out of his heart. He's speaking his heart to us. So every time that you're hearing a voice, one of the things you've got to ask is, does this match the nature and the character of God? If I don't understand his heart, how would I ever understand his voice? But if I understand his heart, now hearing his voice becomes clearer and easier. Hope that makes sense. Watch this. He says some amazing things in these first five verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door, but into the sheepfold, but climbs up another way, the same's a thief and a robber. Okay? In verse 10, most of us are familiar with that, but he's going to tell you, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Right? Now watch this. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Okay? The sheep, verse 3, the sheep hear his voice. Right? Who's the sheep? Come on. We're his sheep. Right? We should hear his voice. Okay? Now watch. Watch what he says. When he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him. He said, follow me. It's an amazing thing in the body of Christ that one day we're going to get this and we're not going to try to lead him. We're going to follow him. I can tell you that for years, even as a pastor for years, I would be praying, trying to discern what God might be wanting to do. And I'd come up with a really good plan and ask God to come and join me. Yep. Y'all understand what I just said? Now, we may not have ever used those words. We may not have even, but you know, that whole hindsight's 20/20. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And in hindsight, I can look back and realize that probably several places in my life where I came up with a good plan and said, God, why don't you come here and join us? Because we got a good thing going on, and it'll be better if you help us. How many of you ever heard the phrase that if the Lord came tomorrow, a lot of churches could continue to operate and not even know the Holy Ghost left? That's challenging, isn't it? It's a sad day when we can have church without him. Yeah. You understand what I just said? Yeah. But how many know that's true? I mean, I'm not being critical. I'm not being harsh. But the fact of the matter is, I went to Jackson, Michigan, held a revival up there, a 6-day revival. It ended up on a Friday night. We got a major snowstorm, so we ended up staying over Saturday. We didn't have, we weren't scheduled to have a revival then. But down in Ann Arbor, Michigan, they were having a huge concert. Back then, this would have been back in the probably early 80s. And I wasn't a big fan of Southern gospel music, but I listened to some of it. But there was a group out called the Gold City Quartet. If you have any of your fans of that, you might have heard of the Gold City Quartet. And they were, no, it wasn't the Gold City Quartet, it was the Kingsmen. And they were doing a big concert down in Ann Arbor. And the pastor that I was friends with had a bunch of tickets. And he said, come on, we're going to go to this concert on Saturday night. So we went to Ann Arbor, Michigan. And we went to this concert. It's in a 3,000-seat auditorium. It's a Methodist church. 2,000 seats on the floor and 1,000 seats in the balcony. And it packed solid. Because the Kingsmen were in the height of their day at that point, right? Do you remember the name of the bass singer? Was it Bill Young? Something like that? Or do you remember? I can't remember his name now. But anyway, it was Bill somebody. But they were singing. And I mean, the glory of God was, I mean, it felt good. It was just, it made you want to shout. But you're in a Methodist church that's very, very staunch and very, very proper. And everything inside of me is rising up, and I'm wanting to shout. And I'm thinking, I'm not allowed to shout. Did you ever feel that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like in a place you want to shout. You're like, I should be out of order. I'd just really be out of order to shout. But boy, if I wasn't, I'd like to shout. That old bass singer grabbed a hold of a microphone, and he went, well, glory! Just like that. And the whole place went, oh my gosh. He said, when you got one of them in you, you just got to let it out. I'm like, yeah! Why you tell that? Here's the deal. Oh, it was amazing. Sometimes, and I'll say this, you get God's wanting to move in your life. And sometimes because of our traditions or because of our, maybe it's even our misunderstandings. that has kept us back through old mindsets and different things. Yeah, that we've held back from taking a step that God wanted us to take. That if we'd have took it 10 years ago, we'd have really been released into so much more. I honestly believe that God is. Can y'all? I get a picture of this. I don't know if you. One of the ways God speaks to us a lot is in pictures, and I'll talk about some of that in a little while. But you ever picture the mother bird kind of, when the baby won't fly, it pushes the baby out of the nest? Does anybody know that picture? You know what I'm talking about? Because it's real life. I mean, that does happen. The mama will push the baby, because if the baby ain't going to fly on his own, we have to push the baby. The baby's going to fly. I honestly believe there's been several times in my life where God was pushing this baby. Fly, boy, fly. Come on, fly. Phew. Some of the greatest challenges in my life came because I believe God was pushing me because I was resistant to follow. Amen. So He had to get behind me and push. Anybody understand what I just said? Amen. Who's been pushed? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, good. Okay. Okay. And I'll say this. Most of the time that God had to push me is because I was afraid it wasn't Him that was speaking in the first place. Like, I heard Him, but I was afraid it wasn't Him. So, and watch this. My fear wasn't that I heard God and I couldn't do what He was asking me. My fear was it wasn't really Him, and I didn't want to do something in the flesh. Right? So because I didn't want to do it in the flesh, I did nothing. How many know? If God's telling you to do something and you stay back in the flesh, now that's... It's just messed up. That's what that is. Okay. Some of us, and I'm an old Pentecostal, so I can talk from an old Pentecostal mindset. We were so afraid because we were slammed with the idea, don't you dare get in the flesh. Don't do anything. Because we've got that whole Ananias and Sapphira thing. You know what I mean? You get in the flesh and boom, you're just falling over. There's the feet of the men will carry you out. You know? Because we were taught. Come on, who was taught some of that stuff? So we got so afraid, like, watch this, messages and interpretations. If I talk that way, you guys are all familiar enough with that on the internet. I hope you are. And if you're not, come on here. We'll show you. Okay. Okay. But there's a place where there's a place where God would be raising up and you feel like, man, but you're holding back. Why? Because we were afraid. What if it's not God? What if it's just me? What if it's not Him? You know what I mean? So then who's done this? We start putting out a fleece. God, if that's really you, who's... Come on. We've done all that. Some of you are looking at me like, yeah, I got no clue. But some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Right? And I can remember all this stuff going through my head. Because you got to understand, most of you know my background had nothing to do with Pentecostalism. I was raised Roman Catholic, altar boy, all the things with that. That was all new to me once I saw some of this stuff happening. And God was moving in my life. And I'm thinking, God, is this really you? And I can remember at one point... I felt like God was speaking to me to do something very special in a service. It was the first time ever that I felt anything like this. So I said, Brother Parton was my pastor. We called everybody brother and sister. Who's in the old Pentecostal church called everybody brother and sister? Y'all know what I'm talking about? It really simplified not needing to know names. It was just, hey, brother, hey, sister. But anyway, in the process of that, Brother Parton was my pastor. So God's moving on me to do something special. It was like a kind of a Jericho March thing, and you might have no understanding of that, but I really felt like that was God. And I said, Lord, if that's really you, I said, man, let Brother Parton shout. And I mean, as soon as I said that, he shouted. And I thought, okay, God, that's probably just a coincidence. If that's really you, right? If that's really you, you know what I mean? Let Gracie Groom just start to cry. Guess what happened? Gracie starts crying. I'm like, yeah, but Lord, she always cries. Okay. I was so trying to get out of it, right? Because, can I talk to you about this? Here's a good truth. Old Testament fleece. New Testament, Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you understand what I just said? Yeah. In the Old Testament, they put out a fleece, but in the New Testament, you got the Holy Spirit. We don't need to... I've watched people... Don't hear it wrong. If it's in your heart to do a fleece thing, that's fine. But I'm going to tell you that seems to me to be an Old Testament paradigm, and it's replaced in the New Testament by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Y'all follow what I just said?
Yeah.
And you study that. That'll fit. Okay? That was worth coming for right there. There had to be some reason. Okay? This is just huge for me. A stranger they will not follow. Does it say that in your Bible?
Nope.
That's really big to me. A stranger they will not follow. We've got to get to the place where we understand. He didn't say a stranger they will not hear. He said a stranger they will not follow. As a matter of fact, the very idea that Jesus says a stranger they will not follow tells me you're going to hear a stranger's voice. Because I don't even have the option to not follow if I can't hear.
Right.
Do you get what I just said? There's got to be a stranger's voice out there that's going to be speaking, and most of us have heard that. Come on, yada, 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 yada. And you've got to be able to discern the stranger's voice from the voice of God. God's voice will always line up with His Word. It will always line up with His character. It will always line up with His nature. There's never a time where God steps outside of the arena of who He is. God's not in an identity crisis. He's not bipolar. He's always the same. He's constant. He said, I'm the Lord thy God. I change not. That's pretty good. So His voice is always going to line up with His character, His nature, and who He is. So the stranger's voice they will not follow. Isn't it amazing that when Satan tempts Jesus, whether you're in Matthew 4 or Luke 4, when Satan is tempting Him, the first time he tempts Him in a place of His need, because He's been 40 days with fasting, command the stones, they become bread, right? Then the second time, He takes Him to a place of where He's wanting to bargain with Him for the power. But the third time, and I think it's kind of interesting, He quotes Scripture to Him. You know Satan quotes Scripture, right?
Yeah.
If you really are the Son of God, then cast yourself down from this pinnacle, because isn't it written, He'll give His angels charge of thee to keep thee in all thy ways, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Isn't it amazing that He quotes Scripture to Him? Why? Because He's trying to mimic God's voice. We're going to talk about some of that today, okay? We'll talk about a counterfeit voice out there. I think it's kind of interesting. Drop down to verse 16. We're in John 10. Cool. Watch this. Other sheep which are not of this fold, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They'll hear my voice. There'll be one fold and one shepherd. Isn't that an amazing verse? They will hear my voice. 27. Look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. They're challenging verses. My sheep hear my voice. Has your prayer ever been, bah? I'm a sheep. I want to hear your voice. There's a place where we just got to cry out, God, I want to hear your voice. Who's ever prayed with tears, God, speak to me, please. I need to hear you. Over and over we make what I would consider life-altering decisions. We better hear God's voice in that. Talking to a lady yesterday about getting married. She's wanting to get married. My thing with her is, what's God saying? She said, I don't know for sure. I want to know for sure. I said, then keep praying. If you don't know what to do, don't do nothing until you know what to do. How many know the person you marry is the second most important decision you're going to ever make in your life? The first is about a marriage too. Yeah. Different groom. I got to hear God. There's decisions being made, whether they're financial, whether they're physical, whether they deal with family, whether they deal with relationships, whether they deal with all kinds of things. Got to hear God. In the midst of that, there's a place. He says, and these are challenging verses, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. My sheep hear my voice. Some, I would tell you, if you did a survey in the United States, I don't know, I'm going to pick wild and crazy numbers, but let's just say there's 300 million Christians. What percentage of them do you think actually would say, I hear the voice of God on a regular basis? 300 million Christians. How many of you think actually hear the voice of God on a regular basis? How many know you can hear God every day?
Yes.
Come on, you've got to be. And there's a place where you've got to live your life like you're hearing God. I can tell you something. I surround myself with people that I believe hear God. If I don't think you hear God, I don't need you in my inner circle.
Right? We can still be friends, but there's a place where in my inner circle, I want people that are hearing God. On a regular basis. Follow this. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Can I tell you something? I'll talk to you real, real plain. A lot of years of ministry, a lot of years of pastoring. There are some times when I hear God, it's clear as a bell. There is absolutely no question in my life, oh God, that's you. There are other times when I hear God and say, I think that's God. You understand what I just said? Sometimes it's, I think it's Him. I want to know it's Him. I want to be able to discern the voice of God with clarity all the time. Could we do that? You ever been like just... Are there places in your life you hear God clearer than others? Where do you hear God? Talk to me. Where do you hear God? What's a common place for you to hear God? Who said that? I've preached this. That's the place where I think I hear God clearer than anywhere else. Yeah. It's the anointed shower. Okay? But there's a place. Do you understand what Jeanette's saying? I've even asked God, God, why is it? Because I'm going to tell you something. I'll be standing in the shower and I'm not even thinking about... I'm not even thinking about God. I don't want to say I'm not thinking about God because I'd like you to think I'm really spiritual and thinking about God 24-7. Okay? But the truth is that sometimes you just sit there and you're not thinking about anything and all of a sudden revelation just starts hitting you. You know why I think it is? Because you weren't thinking about anything else. Because your mind's relaxed. Your body's relaxed. You're just... All you're thinking about is, oh, it feels so good. And then boom, and God starts speaking to you. And I think it's because your mind's not racing on the 27,000 other things that are vying for your attention. You clear with that? Even when I'm over here, because I spend the time in the sanctuary and I'll walk the sanctuary. Do you guys, you have a certain, everybody probably does things differently. For me, my best prayer time is not on my knees or on my face. I got people, I'll come in sometimes, there's people laying on the floor and they're whatever, and they're spending time. I walk in here. I talk to God like this. I'm just walking. It's no different than anything else. I'm walking. I'll go up there. I'll pray over things. Because you serve, a lot of people sit in certain areas of the church, right? Even when I'm walking through that area, you're on my heart. You know what I mean? So if I'm back in that corner, right back up here, it's your family's back there. You know, that's where they sit. So I'm praying for David and Lisa and Jesse and Hannah and Chloe and Micah. And, you know, there's a lot of them kids. You've got to name them all. You know, okay, you know what I mean? So, yeah. You know, so, but you're walking through and it's like, it's, you know, and it's just different places, different people when you think that way. But my mind isn't still. You understand what I just said? Because it's being flooded with thoughts. Sometimes it's when your mind shuts down that you're hearing God the clearest. And there's a way. Will you hear God? Yeah, you said you did. Okay. If you're going to talk to God, do it on the throne. Okay, I got you. Okay. Okay. I'm not going there. Go ahead. No, you are. Never mind. Okay. Never mind. Okay. Okay. She's saying just doing dishes. Yep. And you stop and think about that because it's the things like that that are just, can I say this? They're mundane. You don't have to think about doing dishes. It's not like you have to concentrate on, I got to get every spot. You're just doing it. And as you do, and there's a communion that's going on. It's just amazing. It ought to be that way. Trisha said, in my car. Yep. Come on, sometimes in our car, we hear God real clear in our car. Why? Because we're just driving and we're just, you know, and now you're meditating on the Lord and all of a sudden there's downloads that are coming in. So I got to tell you, I've got like CDs and different things that I put in my car. And sometimes I just got to turn everything off. Because everything else wants to be a distraction. You can get so busy listening to your tapes and your CDs and your Christian music and the radio and whatever. And all of a sudden realize that you spent hours and hours and no communion, even though it's God-centered and God-oriented. But there's a place where you shut all that down and it's just you and Him. Y'all okay with what I'm saying? My sheep hear my voice. It's a very challenging thought. He says that. Now follow me. I love this. This is amazing to me. Okay? So we're hearing God. And sometimes, can I say this? I'll just talk to you real plain. It's who I am. But I'll be in the middle of a service. For whatever reason, it's much easier for me to hear God in the middle of a church service. Like, I never struggle with what's the next direction, where you want to go. It's almost like it just comes and you just know. This is how many have been, if you've been in church here, you know it's never unusual in the middle of worship. I'll just walk up on the platform because God's saying, there's an open door, there's a time here. God stepped through the window and it's time, and there's an open door to touch, you know, and God's speaking. What I find in the midst of that is that there are places where we'll hear God real clear, and other places where we're sometimes challenged with that. Yeah. But I need to make. But there's a place where, Linda, there's a place where we're asking God. Watch this. If I can hear you real clear while I'm here, I want to be able to hear you real clear while I'm over here.
Amen.
Does that make sense? Because guess what? He didn't change. So what did? My perspective. My ability to hear him didn't change. My perspective did. Go ahead, Linda.
I honestly have to say that at times, I think I've only heard him like 3 times.
Okay.
But whenever I am in my car and listening to music, I find myself that I cry at certain words really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And what he does too is I always get his word from the Bible. Like if I do something, like something, a scripture will come up, and maybe a day later I'll hear that scripture, and then like you'll pastor, and that'll tell me, confirm what he said to me.
Cool.
I got a scripture in the middle of Don's class, Dan's class. And it was right in the middle when he was talking. He just gave me one, and I had to go to him and find out what it meant. And then it was funny, as 2 days later, the girls came, and I got slayed out, and the girl said to me, "Isn't this what you wanted?" And it's exactly what God said he was going to do for me. And 2 days later, there's 4 women came, and he did it. So
cool.
He always tells me ahead of time what he is going to do, and then he performs it. I never know when it's going to happen, but he tells me through the word. It's not really through the hearing.
Oh,
and he confirms everything. Hebrews 11. Mm-hmm. Again, I didn't understand it. And I said to God, I keep getting this, but I don't understand. But then Joyce Myers was on, and she totally explained what Hebrews 11 was all about. And I thought, I just sat in bed and put her on, and there it was. Because he does that. He'll give me things, and then he explains them later. So I'm like prepared ahead of time, and then I get it.
Right. What's really, really cool, and something that you said really triggers something in my heart. One of the very first things she said, is anybody here? I've only ever heard him like maybe 3 times. You've heard him a whole lot more. I think what happens is that sometimes what we think is to hear God, there's got to be some thunder, some lightning, 2 feathers have to fall, some gold dust has to pile up, and a bright light shines, and you hear music going, and now we've heard God. You know what I mean? And it's never that way, right? But we're going to talk about all the ways we hear God, because Elijah's in a cave. We'll talk about this. Elijah's in a cave trying to hear God, and what happens? You got thunder, you got lightning, you got earthquakes, you got fire, and then you got a still small voice. Yeah. Let me tell you, there's a whole lot of neat things to that. And thanks for bringing that up, because we'll get into that in the second half of the class. We're going to have some fun with this. We're going over to Becky real quick, and then we'll see what we can get from here. But there's some things that are so pressing in my heart right now about how we're going to hear God. Isn't it cool? We'll study. Maybe we'll look into Samuel, who thinks he hears Eli.
Right?
Go ahead, huh?
I think you have to be open to hear him in so many different ways, because I've traveled back and forth to Kansas several times since I've been here. This last time we were coming home, there were so many billboards highlighted, different, you know, I'm just going, I have traveled this road how many times, and I've never had billboards just stick out. And there are several messages that he had for us along the road when we were
God said,
back.
Here's your sign.
I mean, it was hilarious. We got to laughing at how God, but yet now there, I think there are certain times when he'll speak to you through a vision, or, and now it's like, man, that still small voice, he's really, you know, for a long time I was going, man, God, I don't feel like I'm hearing you. And then all of a sudden he's going, well, didn't you? You know, it's really learning the still, small voice and the stillness of that voice that just, it's not billowing or it's not a vision or it's not a, you know, it's just the still. And then seeing it confirmed, I'm going, oh, you're teaching me, you know, more about just the stillness of your voice now, you know.
That's pretty
and
cool.
And so it's pretty cool how he teaches you different aspects of how he speaks to you.
Isn't it cool? Because let me tell you something. Becky uses the phrase, different aspects of the way he speaks to us. God speaks to us in a myriad of ways.
Yeah.
Who's ever got, does this, for me, one of the biggest ways God speaks to me is mental images. Pictures. Like I could pray for Kelly and God will give me a picture and I start describing the picture to her. You don't know how many times I've done that and people just break and cry because it's right where they're at in their life. You know what I mean? It might be I just prayed for a guy the other night and it was a Jeep that was climbing up a mountain and there was some snow. The weather kept changing and there was a whole bunch. And the picture was very, very clear. It's just like, it's only a moment, but you saw the whole picture. You start describing that and he's breaking and crying because it was speaking about his life and some of the things. And we talked about some of the struggles that he'd been going through. And it was very, very clear in the picture, right? Does anybody understand when I say that? Do y'all get pictures? Because God speaks to me in word pictures all the time. And I've kind of taught this before, but I ate a bunch of crayons when I was a kid. So now the words of the pictures are in color. Okay. So as you see those pictures and they're unfolding in your life, but God speaks to us sometimes through mental images. Sometimes God will speak to us. You're talking with somebody, and in their conversation, they have no idea that this is important to you or what's going on in your life. And all of a sudden, through their conversation, God just takes a piece of that conversation and so applies it right to where you're at. It's just, and they had no idea. They don't even know that God's using them, but through that, it's now exploding. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's a billboard. It could be a billboard. You're driving down the road and God highlights parts of that. You know what I mean? It's like amazing. It's like, oh my gosh, God, that's so cool. And so, sometimes it'll be, who's ever been in bed? And somebody said it here just a little bit ago. But it's like a scripture verse just comes in your head. Linda, you said that. It's like a chapter and verse. Like, I know you said Hebrews 11, right? Hebrews 11:16. And all of a sudden now, you're turning to Hebrews 11:16. And it so speaks to you. Sometimes it might be that, watch this, you've been praying about a certain thing and you turn the TV and John Hagee's preaching about the very thing that you were, and you go, wow, that is so cool. And then a half hour later you turn to another channel and it's Jensen Franklin and he's preaching the same thing. And you're like, God, you know what I mean? It's like pretty cool, you know, because that's happened to me. That's all those kind of things will happen to us. All those kind of things will happen. Buddy, come on over. But where we're at in that, come to Kelly. What will happen in all those things is there's a myriad of ways that God chooses to speak to us. Who's ever, you're just reading your Bible. You're just in the Word. And all of a sudden in the middle of that, you're reading. And all of a sudden words start just jumping off the page. You know what I mean when I say words start jumping off the page? Like they don't jump off the page. But you have some power and it just seems like they're bigger than life. And all of a sudden it's just speaking volumes to you about where you're at in your life. Yeah. Go ahead, hon.
I have two things that I need to share. I have a really dear friend of mine who is struggling really, really hard with her relationship with God. And she's come to me and God has just used me to bring people to Him. And I invited her to go to Joyce Meyer's with me in August. She thought I had said something totally different, and she agreed to go. And then she was telling people what she was doing. They're like, you do know who that is, right? And once she realized who it was, she's like, oh, what did I get myself into? But she went anyway. Mm-hmm. We were talking on the way about gluttony and our eating struggles and stuff like that, and about the world and how horrible it's getting. And Joyce Myers confirmed everything that we were talking about on the way there, and we just kept looking at each other like, oh my gosh.
Isn't it cool?
That is so much confirmation for both of us.
Right.
And then yesterday, someone was talking about they let God direct their driving. Okay, I was leaving here and I was driving back home. And I was going through New Oxford, and me and my son may be moving in together, moving to New Oxford.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. And he told me to turn. I'm like, maybe this is what they were talking about. So I said, okay, I'm going to turn. So I turn, and I said, okay, now where do you want me to go? Is this you? And, you know, so, like, I would read a stop sign, and I would turn. And, like, I went into this, like, circle, and I'm like, are you sending me to a house that's for rent or something? And they were all for sale. So I'm like, this doesn't make sense. So I kept going, and I come back around to the next street that would have been, if I kept on York Road, and there was a for rent sign in this duplex neighborhood. I'm like, okay, is this where I'm supposed to move? So I called, no one answered, but I'm going to call again.
Okay, you got the number. Okay.
So, that was pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. Actually, when Pastor Lori and I moved from Dover over this way, that's exactly what happened. She jumped in her car and started driving. She said, Lord, where do you want us? She started driving, and as she drove around, she went down this street and that street and over to the other street, and there's a guy putting a sign up in the yard while she's driving by. We ended up renting the house. It's just a really, really cool deal. You know what I mean? And it's just a way that God orchestrates things. It's pretty cool. And I honestly believe that, I just believe God wants to be involved in every area of our life. And He wants to speak to us. And for me, what I'm going to tell you is this. There was a point where I thought, God, if you want to speak to us, why don't you just write it in a book? Y'all got that, right? Okay, y'all got that, right? Like He did. Okay? And the most trustworthy way He can speak to us is through His Word. You know what I mean? And that's part of it. I love what David said. He said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. You know what I mean? That's a huge thing. Let His Word be so saturated in our heart. Because, and I got to say this, please hear this. But the more of this you can get into your heart, I got you. The more of this you can get into your heart, the more this Holy Spirit has to work with. Right? There's a place where we get saturated in this, because the Bible says he'll bring all things to our remembrance. But how many know you've got to read it to remember it? You've got to get it to remember it. You know what I mean? So there's a place where we just got to saturate ourselves in this Word, because the more of it we have in us, the more He can pull out of us. It gives Him something to work with. You know what I mean? That's what I think is huge, is a place where I just got to, God, I want to get Your Word in me. You know what I mean? Because I think over and over, that's probably the way God speaks to me more than any other. A familiar verse will light up in my spirit. You know what I mean? All of a sudden then, and if you've got a lot of the Word in you, one verse comes to mind and all of a sudden then it triggers the next verse and the next first, and all of a sudden then that stuff's just kind of, and it almost just races ahead, and all these scriptures are coming, and all of a sudden now you're finding, wow, this is what God's speaking to me in this moment of my life. But I find over and over that it's His Word that's probably the most reliable. I'll talk to you about a whole bunch of things in the second half of the class. I'll talk to you about some people that I've seen that, and I want to say it the right way. I had a young lady very close to, and I felt like, man, she really jeopardized her life over a word somebody gave her, and she jumped on it, ended up in disaster. Y'all follow what I'm saying? So there's a place where we got to find what's solid, what's true, what's absolute. We're going to talk more about discerning the voice of God. We'll look at some Bible verses and some people in the Scriptures that have discerned God's voice. And we'll talk about some real life experiences. Some that worked out really well, some we missed. Who's ever? Come on, because we've missed God. And what do we do when we miss Him? Okay, we'll talk about that, because that's a pretty simple answer. I'll bet you already know. Okay, but here's the deal. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back when the music plays and all the stuff happens that's supposed to happen. And then we'll hook up from there. But go ahead and take about 15 minutes and then we'll get back. And we'll start talking some more, and we'll just trace down the idea of discerning God's voice and hearing Him. Watch this. Even in the midst of the disasters that are going on around us, maybe that's where we have the most difficulty hearing Him. Okay? So we'll talk about that. All right? All right. Take a break.